getting mean with me. This is a text message that just came in. It says, Mike, you said KFGO was great. Well, it is, but it would be better without you. Well, I hate to tell you this, texter, but I'm going to be here for a while. So I get really good ratings and advertisers seem to like me and the management seems to like me. So I apologize that I'll be here for a good long while. Clay Jenkinson is my usual Monday guest at 4:35 on this very program. And he's with us right now via phone from his home in Bismarck, North Dakota. Hello, Clay Jenkinson of the Dakota Institute. How are you?
Hey, Mike. I just have to confess I sent that text.
You're lying because you're on your phone right now and you can't send it.
I would never. You're a wonderful person. Why would it? I mean, even people who disagree with you politically, and I'm guessing there are about 672,000 of them, they still must admire you for your humor and your good sense and your articulateness.
I doubt it. Okay. But I will say this, is that person who sent me that text message is listening, aren't they?
Really?
Well, they are.
Well, I should just say that, you know, let's be serious for a minute. We need a robust democracy. The biggest single problem in North Dakota life, in my opinion, is that there is not a sufficiently robust debate about education, about natural resources, about American Indians and their lives, about team names, about the legislature, about how to use the economic windfall that's coming in from this oil boom. We have so little actual statewide conversation about questions of extraordinary importance that I would think that everyone would understand that your brand of talk radio, which is not goofy,
well,
is really important to the future of this state. You know, I don't always agree with you. I know you don't always agree with me. But you do every day try to create an actual conversation and bring facts and not just notions to the table. And it seems to me that that's precisely what we need. It's not all that we need, but it's what we need to get this conversation in North Dakota started.
No, Clay, what listeners who dislike me want is they want me to repeat what they believe.
Well, that's what everybody wants.
Of course.
I wish that you agreed with everything that I ever said or, you know, et cetera. Everyone feels that way, but that's not a robust democracy.
I know what could solve this. If President Obama would just come to North Dakota at the invitation of Kevin Cramer, then Kevin Cramer could show Barack Obama just how great North Dakota is and how one-party rule, Republican Party rule, has led to this fantastic explosion of the economy and jobs in North Dakota. If Kevin Cramer could just do that, Clay, every problem in this country would be solved.
I'm guessing that his credibility with President Obama is not high, given some of the things that he has said. I do wish that President Obama would come to North Dakota. I was sorry he didn't come during the floods a couple of years ago. I think he should come see this. I'm not sure that the people like Kevin Cramer would be happy with what his response was if he did come here. But I think that this oil boom is an internationally interesting phenomenon. The president would be well served.
Well, sure it is, but the invitation was given, A, for publicity reason, and two, it was given under the idea that if Obama came here, he could see that the way things are here could be transferred to the entire United States, Clay. And my response to Kevin Cramer and his lackeys would be, so you could spread a robust agriculture economy everywhere in the country, and you could put oil under every state in the union, and then that would solve the economic issues around the nation. Because that's what happened in North Dakota. It's nothing that necessarily that Republicans or Kevin Cramer's done that's led to North Dakota's spot atop the economic heap right now. It's simply God-given luck.
God played a role, all right. I do give credit to Ed Schaefer and John Hoeven and Jack Dalrymple for creating a pro-business climate in the state. I think that probably allowed this to get started in a big way. I think it's overheated now, and we should pull back if it's still possible. But I do think that politics and protocols do matter.
Clay, let me ask you this. You are part of a story that's kind of been ongoing the past couple of days in the newspapers around the state, including the Grand Forks Herald and the Forum here in Fargo. And it involves a list of extraordinary places that Attorney General Wayne Stengem has been talking about releasing to find out, you know, let's find these places that are extraordinary in the state of North Dakota so we can try to protect them from the development. You have been part of those discussions, have you not?
I have been. The Attorney General has asked me a couple of times informally what my own view of this is.
a friend of yours by the name of Jim Fugley, I believe, former chairman of the North Dakota Democratic Party in North Dakota and currently a blogger, has accused the attorney general of not having open meetings and circumventing open meeting laws and holding secret cabals and being way too tight with the industrial complex in North Dakota when it comes to compiling this list. And is basically accusing Wayne Stengem of shutting off public debate when it comes to compiling this list of extraordinary places. Do you agree that that's what's happened, or do you think that your friend Jim Fugley is a little off base here?
Well, Jim Fugley is one of the best people I've ever known in my whole life. He's one of my closest and oldest friends. I worked for him at the Dickinson Press when I was 15, so I've known him for more than 40 years. Jim is an extraordinary man, and he's really deeply intelligent and insightful. So having said all that, I do disagree with Jim about what the Attorney General is doing. I think Attorney General Stengem is the most interesting public figure in North Dakota at the present time, because he is trying to really step back and ask, could we create some development conditions on sensitive or magnificent parcels, just a few of them, that would work to protect those parcels against the worst ravages of the industrialization of North Dakota? I applaud that, Mike. I think that's extraordinary leadership. He doesn't have to do that. It's not particularly popular. It's hard to do. I think he's reached out and shown great political courage and personal courage to take this on. And so I want to applaud the Attorney General and hope that he produces something that passes muster with the Industrial Commission and which helps the state moderate some of its development on the Badlands landscapes and the Killdeer Mountains and a few other places. So even though Jim may have a point, I don't know. I'm not the Attorney General. I do trust my Attorney General to know the open meeting laws. I would guess that if anybody is fully aware of the implications of our open meeting laws in North Dakota, it would be Wayne Stengem.
Well, and I agree with that. I think that actually Mr. Stengem has been pretty darn good about protecting open meeting laws in North Dakota and making sure that the sunshine laws, as they're called, I believe, are followed and the people of North Dakota can find out what's going on. I don't have a dispute with the Attorney General there. The question I would have that I think that Mr. Fugley gets at that does carry some weight is, with no offense to you, Clay, are the proper people being consulted? And I would guess that you would be one of those people. You have a good sense of place in the history of North Dakota, but do we need people from the Game and Fish Department? Do we need people from the Audubon Society? Do we need people from certain conservation movements that would maybe have a better take on things than, say, somebody from the oil industry itself?
Well, that's a complex question. There are two ways to do something like this. I mean, there are three things. You could do nothing, which is, in my opinion, what the state government has essentially done. It has stood by as a cheerleader with pom-poms and watched this thing just take over North Dakota life. That's one option. Option two would be to do what you're perhaps suggesting, or at least bringing up as the devil's advocate. You have a series of meetings all over the state. Every group is brought in. Long lists are made. There's public testimony. There's a long, complex, and wrangling set of discussions, which leads to a list so long that it can't possibly ever have traction politically in this state. That's an option. And maybe that's what the Attorney General will do. Maybe it's what he should have done. His approach has been a different one, and I don't want to characterize it. You should have him on as a guest, but I think what his idea is that he would talk quietly with people that are informal friends of his and try to get a sense of it and then see what sort of a list he could begin to put together. But I don't think any part of the Attorney General has meant to exclude the public, to deny public input, public meetings, public protests, public petitions. In other words, this isn't some secret thing which is going to end in a fiat. That's impossible in a democratic culture like ours. But I think he wanted to have the chance to think about this without opening the door too soon, too broadly, to the kind of chaos that would almost certainly ensue if he'd said, let's get started. We'll have 22 town meetings. We'll have 2 hours of testimony at each one. We'll see what the people want. I think that's proper in a democracy. I don't think that was the intention of his informal survey of what is possible.
is it too late? That's the question I always ask, Clay, and I always ask that question of you, is when it comes to trying to save some of these special places, has the process already gone too far? And by the time that this group of people, including yourself and Ron Ness and Hope Hogan and some county commissioners from out west, once this list is winnowed down and some decisions are made, is it going to be too late?
It is too late in many respects. I think Ed Schaefer had the right idea 20 years ago that this all should have been pre-designated. That didn't happen. So now the question is, do we just shrug our shoulders and say it's too late, or do we do what we can? I think we should do what we can, Mike, because this is going to be a 40-year process. These companies are going to come in, drill, leave, come back, cap, come in, re-drill, et cetera, on and on and on. I think any list we make, any list that the people of North Dakota can agree upon in proper democratic processing, is likely to be useful at some level to moderate this thing for some places. I mean, no one's talking about denying anyone their Fifth Amendment property rights, but what if we could protect the Kildare Mountains by careful stipulations of the kind of development that would be permissible? I think 30 years from now, whatever small list we come to, we'll be thrilled we did it, because we'll say a tenth of a loaf is better than none, and maybe these protocols that can be established now will encourage the state to think more carefully as this gigantic industrial activity moves forward decade after decade after decade. So I think it's worth it, even though I wish it had been done a lot sooner.
See, there's a difference between you and I, is that I would have thrown up my hands and said, sorry, too late, can't do anything about it. And you look at it pragmatically and you take what you can get out of it and you say a tenth of a loaf is better than nothing at all. That's what separates you and I, Clay.
Well, Mike, I know probably running up against a break here, but think of the thing that happened in Little Missouri State Park. So I wish that 20 years ago we had said we're going to be really careful about magnificent places like Little Missouri State Park, but we didn't. But now they're going to be going in again and again and again over the next 30 or 40 years in different ways with new technologies. And I think that if we said today, in the future, if we could stipulate certain protections for places like Little Missouri State Park, and those conditions then were kind of an electronic red flag to the companies that if you can develop here, but if you do, you're going to have to hide the wells and you're going to have to work around and maybe no new roads and so on. That would allow companies to self-select for the low-hanging fruit and maybe to leave some of these really fragile and magnificent or sacred places alone. So I'm an optimist.
I'm going to let you go, Clay, because we're going to have such a short segment in our next segment. But I want to end it with this. And this is not why I read the first text message. I'm reading this text message just because somebody else is defending me. It says, Mike, that person who sent that text message is a boneheaded idiot. You're interesting, and a lot of people like your show. The smartest thing that ignoramus can do is shut his beak. May I suggest duct tape?
Oh, my. Well, Mike, these conversations are really important. And, I mean, think of what we're talking about here. This is not something to condemn, and I'm just thrilled to be a guest on your program.
Thank you.
And Jim Fugley is a great, great person, by the way.
Oh, yeah, I've not met Jim. I'd like to do that sometime. Clay, thank you. Thanks for coming on, as always. Good to
talk
to you. Yep, you bet. Clay Jenkinson of Bismarck, North Dakota.